instruction, about meditation, time of making. To spread that to all the beings in this forest, and to recollect the place we're staying. Those who've been used in the land, the homes, for many generations of refugee people. Also to remember the gratitude of all the monks and nuns, and also the managers and the committee members who helped to build and donated the funds to construct the sala and to maintain this, you know, wonderful facility over the years. So to keep them in our minds and heart as well. As we leave this place, and to think back with gratitude and appreciation for the work that's gone into this place. To bring to mind an appreciation and gratitude to all the volunteers who came and helped to make this a wonderful retreat. Pulled together many different ideas, opinions in the kitchen. It was an interesting practice space for everybody. And the fact that we came out fed, well fed, happy, is a small part in the cooperation, the harmony of all the people who helped pull together in the kitchen. And also Jillian, who helped organize and keep things going. Very simple. To keep that in mind as well. Josie, a cook all the way from Victoria, who came and gave us a wonderful meal. So I just want to express appreciation to the people who helped make it a great success. What else? And on the number of people who showed up in this retreat. Everybody managed their affair, arranged ways to be able to spend the new year here. Really congratulate yourself for doing that. It's no small feat. To have, obviously, inclined the mind to peace, stillness, away from the chaos and destruction. It's not easy. So, but having done that, having taken a small step towards peace, stillness, clarity. Make sure that we continue to incline our mind that way throughout the year. Either having a regular sessions during the day, it doesn't have to be very long, it can take 10-15 minutes. You have a very busy schedule. Or also, whatever you're doing, just to keep your way from the body. Instead of moving away from the mind, just shift the awareness down to the chest, down to your stomach, just to know what's happening there. Instead of keeping all awareness in the mind, of going to the past, the future, going to plans and managing, whatever so often, where am I now? What am I doing? Sitting, standing, walking, lying down. What's happening? Just to keep that much awareness. Find that when you do sit, it's a tremendous help. You haven't lost yourself in the day. And also, continue practicing walking meditation. Do lots of walking through the day. Walking from the parking lot to the shopping, grocery stores, to office, to our house. Those are all great practice opportunities. And don't never think that I don't have time to practice. Too busy. I think practice is more a state of mind, information of the mind, than actual when you have time. And to keep that in mind. So yeah, some people think, well, you know, meditation was really good this time and being very peaceful. But like I said, we're not great judges of our own practice, especially in the present moment. We tend to be very goal-oriented, very hard on ourselves. That's when you find that, think that, you know, the mind hasn't done very much here. Once you leave this place, you'll find that actually it has slowed down tremendously. Start to go on the road, quickly people move, see how things, you know, kind of flash in your mind. I have slowed down. It's because the environment is very quiet, distracted enough that we think the mind is moving, I guarantee you we all have to slow down to a small degree, if not to a large extent for some of us. And to appreciate that, and to not take it lightly. He is a precious thing, precious commodity in this world. And a lot of times it is precious because we don't value it. We throw it away very quickly. So imagine you have something very precious, winning ticket to the lottery. Then we also know where it is. I'm putting it apart in your pocket, okay? In your purse, you know. Where I lose my purse. We know exactly where it is. It's winning ticket, lottery ticket. But for most of us, peace, yes, we have peace. Yes, and I'm sitting here, but who's relieved? On the phone right away. In the car. What's happening for dinner? Who should I invite over? When should I tell my friends I'm going to retreat? Oh, the deep meditation I've got. And it just moves, you know, one step after another. And we throw peace away, don't know where we left it. No idea. So I just encourage you to say, it's precious and it's fragile. And to guard it. Place your awareness around it. Know where it is. Where's my peace of mind? Where's my mind? To incline it, protect it, nurture it, whatever you can. And then the next time you come back, you do a meditation retreat, next time you sit again. You don't have to start from scratch. There's a level of foundation that you're building upon already. And that's to encourage people. You really make use of this place. Yes, it's great to sit here and have this great wholesome group energy to meditate together in the sala. Just to share the space and the time without really talking, you know, without talking to each other. I find it's the deepest form of communication that we can do with each other. Just to sit in silence, sit quietly, watching your own mind. I find that's quite special. Deep communal sharing that's beyond words, that's beyond, you know, kind of verbalizing, any kind of communication we can do. And but also, the sala is pretty small, it's pretty full here. So actually, the Wat is also a great place to practice with only about 5 or 10 people here. So also use the monastery during off-retreat time. I'd like to extend friendly, cordial invitation to every one of you to come back and practice outside of the retreat period. Now, the schedule is very simple. You have to wake up for morning chanting at 5 o'clock, and then there's evening chanting at 7. But it's not completely compulsory all the time. There's periods when we don't do that. And you have the rest of the day to meditate or to take walks or just kind of spend your time in a quiet, tranquil environment. And you can kind of nurture your practice, you know, during the year. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, school retreats are good, but yeah, sometimes a lot of people and there's different issues to deal with. And once you have the foundations of knowing what to do in your meditation, how to spend time by yourself, then you find actually, you know, being in a small community, it's quite helpful to kind of calm the mind, just to be with ourselves. There's so many people around, activity. To encourage people really to make use of this place the rest of the year. If the retreats happen to coincide with your schedule, yeah, you're more than welcome to come. But not to only fix your mind on doing a retreat period. So that's one thing I'd like to bring up. And also, with there's a few people request, more than a few requests for single accommodation. And unfortunately, there's very few of that. But there's a few tricks that you can do to assure that you have a single accommodation. And one is to become a volunteer. Once you volunteer, you come a few days early to help, you know, get the place ready. And then there are a few accommodations that are available for volunteers. That's just a way to encourage people to come and help out. because generally the community here is small, just myself, another monk, and maybe one or two lay retreatants. So in order to make a retreat a beneficial experience for Buddha, we need a team of volunteers to come to manage the place, help cook, clean, and just to keep the office going. So that's one way to also, you know, kind of also look after your practice at the same time. Sometimes we think that a lot of the meditation is just kind of obviously working in our mind, but also the preparation to meditation is very helpful. I was talking like in the first day. First is that, you know, the moral foundation, your moral integrity of being honest, being upright is helpful. But also the second thing that you kind of open the mind, to brighten the mind, is generosity, helping, you know, other people. Putting what we want, putting our wishes and desires in second place for a change, and looking to see what we can do in our community, not just to be specifically a monastery and temples, but, you know, the world around us. You know, we have to appreciate that we're given so much. The fact that we're here in good health means, you know, we're heaps ahead of many people. We're fortunate, many people in the world. We're living in a very peaceful country, a very prosperous country. Yes, you may not be a millionaire or a billionaire yet, but we have so much more than most of the people in the other places. And to, you know, not to take that for granted. To use that opportunity to help. To use that opportunity to make a world a better place. By doing charity work, and you'll find that actually we benefit much more than we can ever get back. To do charity, to do work in orphanages, old people's homes. It's a great way to keep in touch with reality. The fact that we all will get old and we get sick from time to time, sometimes very seriously. And the only way to deal with it is to come into contact with it, to help each other, to help another person through their sickness. It's the best remedy for any kind of fear, anxiety as we grow older. But it's a natural path as well for most of us. Like I said, that lady, I know I'm going to grow old. I'm going to fight every step of the way. Well, like I said, it's not going to be very pleasant for her when she does get old, when her beauty fades away. But for each and every one of us, you know, we know we're going to get old, and I'm going to make peace with it every step of the way. That's what we should be doing as a Buddhist and as a meditator. To make peace with whatever is happening, especially with the body, but also with the mind. Yes, in meditation, there are beautiful states of peace, of bliss, but not always. As I also tried to point out in the interview, that sometimes there are things that we have to work through. Dark spots in our mind, dark spots in our psyche that comes up. Maybe trauma in the childhood, maybe something deeper that we don't know. But I think the fact that with meditation, with mindfulness, we have this spaciousness, just the whole thing, to receive it, to accept it, and to allow the unpleasantness, the dark spots to be. And then that's how peace happens. It's like acceptance, by surrendering ourselves to the present moment. Life is not always a bowl of cherry. Life has its bright spots and its dark spots. And that's what the act of meditation, the practice of meditation, is hopefully helping us to do. To accept, obviously, the nice part, but also the dark areas that comes up from time to time. Like I was saying, the method of meditation, yes, may have the good fortune to achieve success, to be happy, to be prosperous, to be healthy in my life. But also, may I have the patience and the wisdom to endure the obstacles that will appear in my life from time to time, as it always does. This is earth. It's not a heavenly realm. We're not promised bliss, everlasting bliss. We have equal amount of suffering and equal amount of happiness. But there's an opportunity to learn. There's an opportunity to cultivate wisdom and compassion along the way. For our welfare, but also to welfare of the people around us, the welfare of the world at large. So ultimately, I just found out this is, you know, this is a happy path. A path full of interesting adventures, because it's a path that's going inside of us. And I find, like I said, you know, with my 10 years living mostly in quiet places in the bush, that I find it nothing short than a wonderful experience. Nothing short of a fascinating experience. Just to look inside my own mind, to understand it, or just to begin to understand it. To find the, you know, different moods and emotions that crops up from time to time. The different variations that come up. And just kind of journey inward, I think, and encourage people to, you know, to begin it and to continue to pursue that. Not only for your own welfare, but also for the welfare and happiness of others. Because once, like I said, once we sort out our stuff, work out our issues, then we can be a truly benefit to the world. Benefit to the people and the family that we belong to, that we live with. Only when we're truly happy and at peace can that peace and happiness radiate outward. We can't help people from wanting, from willing. We can't give people what we don't have. We don't have the happiness, it's not going to happen. We cannot make anybody else happy. So to encourage people to really purify your mind for the welfare and happiness of all beings. And that's what I'd like to stop for now. And to hand the mic over to Julian, who might say a few words. Thank you again, Julian, for all the great work you've done. And this is Julian's third retreat as office manager. In a row, that's right.
Thank you. The family house. And then it seems to be, thank you very much. The old kitchen.
My question. Say for next year. But also, before I answer the question, I just like to remind people that there's a few books that I'd like to draw your attention to. One was the spiritual biography of Meiji Kale, one of the nuns, a priest of nun in Thailand, who are fully enlightened. And her record of how she practices is very inspiring. Went on with it. Ignored, pretty much, you know, very focused and very sincere in her dedicated in her efforts. So that's one. And there's another one, Upasika Kinon, another Thai nun, also very highly attained, also finished her work, became enlightened. Also, her Dhamma talk is also supported in translation to English. And then, of course, Ajahn Nun, which is one of the, in the Asanchan tradition. He also has a book called Simple Teachings on Higher Truths. And he has a DVD in the back to help you meditate as well. So just draw your attention to those books on the bookshelf. Okay, very good. It's not a question, it's more of a statement. Life statement. I just want to thank everyone for the support during my misery days, spiritual and physical. So I just as a thank you note to everybody. Oh, it was very nice. Okay, this is a question. When past wounds come up during or after meditation, it is a temptation to examine them. Do you have some suggestion regarding healing the past? Yes, I think it's along the line of what I was telling before. Just accept it. accepting that these things happen, that, you know, unhappy childhood, abusive relationship, childhood, these things happen in life from time to time. And the only thing we can do is like still go, just to accept them and to learn from them. To learn to know that it's not, you know, it wasn't nice to be on the receiving end of something, you know, a nasty comment, pleasant, you know, someone hurt you verbally or physically. So then it's a lesson for us, teaching that going forward, we will also restrain ourselves from harming or hurting other people intentionally. So, you know, can always learn misfortunes. You don't have to go into guilt, why it was me, or vengeance, and want to punish them. You know, as Buddhists, myself believing in the law of karma, when people act out of greed or anger like that, they're going to have to pay that back. It's kind of inherent justice in the world in that way. And we don't need to burden ourselves with having to be the one to carry out the act of justice. They'll get what they deserve in the end. For us, we need to take care of our own hearts and minds, to purify ourselves, to accept that what happened, and to let it go. To learn from it, and then to let it go. To forgive them if necessary. Because forgiveness is this great muscles in the mind first to train. Because when we can learn to forgive other people, we can learn to forgive ourselves. And that is the important thing. We have to live with ourselves. And we do stupid things all the time. Sometimes intentionally hurting other people, sometimes not. And then we have to live with that. And we haven't learned to forgive others, there's a good chance we haven't learned to forgive ourselves. And that makes life very difficult. Makes life very dark. Makes life very kind of, you know, a very tough existence. So, actually, if you had misfortunes in the past and pleasant things, it's a great opportunity to practice compassion, a great opportunity to cultivate wisdom and patience. So you don't have to see it as a way that why me, poor me, this happened to me, why didn't it happen to somebody else. But see, it's actually an opportunity, a great opportunity to cultivate the spiritual qualities that we're inclining for. Yeah. Make sense? Questions or comments? That, I wish you very productive, beneficial 2010, and you continue to cultivate all your five spiritual qualities of faith, energy, mindfulness, stillness, and wisdom for the welfare and happiness of all beings.